What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Deja Vu podcast. This is your number one podcast for television shows that no one watches anymore. And today we're wrapping up Lost. We started about December. We've gone through all the seasons, the series finale, and today we're going to do a little wrap up just to give our thoughts. We got Travis Mejia. We also have Dan McDowell in.
Yay, special guest.
Yes.
Finally.
Are you recording?
We are recording this time.
We've started this show three times already. Yes. And now this is real?
This is real. This is recording.
All right, I see the lines moving up and down. So yes, we are actually recording audio now.
Well, thanks for having me here.
Yes, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for being only 20 minutes late.
Look, you brought it on yourself, man.
I should have. I thought the traffic wouldn't be that bad.
Actually, maybe 40 minutes if you consider I got here 15 minutes early for you.
You did. But, I was walking around outside and ran into Dan.
I apologize, Dan.
I thought it would be disrespectful to show up to a 2:30 podcast at 2:30, but I didn't realize the host of the podcast shows up at 2:45.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I've been really offended all year long because we never do this on time.
No.
This is honestly the closest we've been to on time since we started doing it.
Okay.
So...
Well, I feel good.
Yeah, your presence.
I'm ready.
Brought
Let's
us
talk
only
Lost.
15 minutes.
I'm very sorry.
Although I haven't watched Lost in like 10 years.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. I know that you've had interest in rewatching it, though.
Yeah, I did watch the, what do you call it? The series premiere.
Right.
Pilot.
Like 2 weeks ago with my daughter, because I thought that might be a show she'd want to get into. Because as I recall, I have very fond memories of watching Lost. We were really into it back then. I think we'd do a weekly show.
Yeah.
At least a segment on it.
I know that was part of the TiVo segment, right? That was one of the shows you guys followed.
Certain shows we would do, we would just make that a weekly.
Yeah. Oh, and, you would? Okay.
Yeah, we might call it TiVo, but we definitely do Lost every week. And I remember The Sopranos we did with it. When did Lost start?
Lost started, 2004.
Okay. So it was 15 years ago. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Yep. 15 years ago.
But the finale was probably what?
2010.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So almost 10 now?
Jeez. Yeah, almost 10 years.
10 next summer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so Lost for me was a humongous influence in my life as far as like things I like science fiction and certain things I like in my movies and television shows. I don't know where would you rank it, Dan, as far as like one of your favorite shows or best shows of all time?
Actually,
like The Wire and Breaking Bad.
Yeah, obviously The Wire and Breaking Bad. That's very cliche, but it's also very true. Mm-hmm. I'd say right up there. I mean, Sopranos is great. Oz, The Shield, I love those. But I think Lost was very groundbreaking. And I remember at the time when it was on, it was, you know, it blew your mind that this could happen.
Yeah, and all those shows you mentioned, this is the only one that's a network show.
One of the last great network TV shows, probably.
Yeah, and it kind of kicked off this new version of TV where it's way more character-driven. Like, even now, like on network, there's just like FBI, CSI, whatever. All of the just
weekly things you could just tune into one and you're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the fire department from Las Vegas or
Hawaii 5-0.
Exactly. And this was kind of like, hey, we can tell an actual story on network television. Why don't more shows try it out?
Mm-hmm. I recall one of the criticisms we had of it was it was such a great premise.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like they had a great, you know, first show idea and sold that to the network. And the network bought it, and they were like, oh, damn. Now we got to figure out how to make this polar bear. We got to reverse engineer, you know. Like, I don't know that he had a vision for the full story. Was it Damon Lindelof, right?
Yeah,
Carlton
Damon
Hughes.
Hughes and Lindelof.
J.J. Abrams was like... helping.
Was he the executive producer?
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned that because I was reading that one of the executives from ABC had actually had the initial idea for the show.
Yeah, there was another guy.
Yeah, so he had the idea of essentially like Survivor and Gilligan's Island and a couple of other things melded into one. And they, you know...
It was like the most also like, you know, nowadays you hear, oh, this one guy has an idea for a show. This was like at a ABC meeting.
Right. Like
this
he
was
just,
a business meeting.
I think they were on like an airplane when he came up with
probably.
It. And they essentially scrapped everything from his thing. They like gave it to J.J. Abrams and were like, hey, can you make something out of this? And he just scrapped everything he had and kind of started over, mm-hmm. but took that initial premise and exploded it out.
There's a really good book that I recall wrote. It's called The Revolution Was Televised, How mm-hmm. the Sopranos, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Lost, and Other Groundbreaking Dramas Changed TVs Forever. TV Forever by Alan Sepinwall. You might want to read that. And it's it gives you the inside story on mm-hmm. what you're just talking about yeah. right there, the behind the scenes, how yeah. they sold it, how they were, I think it was at a time, too, when reality TV was starting to creep into the networks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they were trying to find new crazy ideas that would you know, keep them afloat or whatever. And this is one of those.
Yeah, and trying to take that. Because, I mean, what, maybe Survivor's 2 years old at this point, but it's definitely kind of already becoming a phenomenon. They're trying to capitalize on that
yeah.
and do something, kind of take it back from the past, but put a totally new twist on it.
And it's such a show that was probably before its time, because it was one of the first almost binge TV shows where it, you know, at first they had the episodes. They had like 24 episodes per season, and... you know, sometimes there would be months at a time where there was no new episode, and so you would be lost. You wouldn't know what was going on the next week. But then they started trying to make things condensed, season three, and then eventually they're like, hey, we're just gonna do this weekly and have this certain amount of episodes, like 13 episodes, and you know,
they ended with that.
Yeah, they ended
just
with
doing 13 episodes,
or like 16 episodes.
Yeah, season four was 13 or five was 13.
Yeah,
because they were living through the change of network, TV overall, I guess.
Internet right. and the writer's strike.
Because even The Sopranos, I think, started with lots and lots yeah. of episodes, right?
They started at 13.
Oh, really?
And then the last season went to 13, but cut it, or 16, but when it cut it into two seasons, essentially, like what Breaking Bad did. Okay. Is just make a big super season or whatever.
Isn't it weird how that's changed? It used to be 26 episodes
yes.
of anything.
Yeah.
Because it was like half the year. And then now, like recently, the Emmys had awards. And what was it, the Emmys? Yeah. And isn't it weird if a network show is even like nominated for one of the top
things? Oh, God, yeah. Like it's totally out of, unless it's a comedy, it just doesn't happen.
I mean, you know,
we've talked about that a lot yeah. on the podcast, that just like, I don't watch naked network TV anymore.
No.
Like I watch like The Good Place, and
that's actually supposed to be really funny, Dan, The Good Place.
But if somebody tells me to watch a
right.
show and they're like, it's on CBS,
I'm like,
seriously though, but it's
right.
good.
Yeah.
Like, cause I won't even consider.
Right. No.
That's I don't know who watched it's, that's the CSI, the grandma
yes.
shows or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Right.
It's for real olds, but.
Or even just like. Normies that don't know they don't know that there's something better out there. Like
there's so much good out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I just don't have time to waste with like another cop drama.
Yeah.
So both of us didn't get into it until like a couple of seasons down the road. Was that similar for you, or did you catch on like right when it came out?
We were on it from day one.
Day one.
As I recall.
Really?
Because there are some, I remember Mad Men was one of those I got on it 2 years in.
Yeah.
You know, you wait till there's a lot of buzz. And
right.
people tell you,
till it's safe.
Because your time is valuable. But I recall knowing about the premise and being on it right away.
Yeah.
Because to me, it was like, I guess the reason why I wasn't on it right away was the premise. Like, okay, so what are we going to do here? They're going to have a plane crash. And then every week it just got more fantastical and fantastical, that now I was even out just because there's too much going on. And then I finally make the jump into season three, beginning of season four. One of my buddies in high school got me into it and just absolutely fell in love. And all of a sudden, it's like my favorite show. It was just crazy how I know a lot of people that just didn't get in until later on because I just couldn't believe it was going to be good.
Well, and I think one of the great cool things about it that I remember is just that, was it like the first show that started using the flashback?
It's got to be one of them. And then there's a million that have tried to repeat. Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, a lot of these shows, like Arrested Development, came out and it had no
yeah.
laugh track.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And now that's very, very more
yeah.
common than not. or the Office documentary style, of course.
The and now single cam.
The you know, Parks and Rec will do that. Or yep. Now, you know, there's not even a premise of it's a documentary.
Right.
They still just do it. Just,
right. Like Modern Family. I don't think there's
There are almost no multicam comedies like outside of CBS anymore, hardly. Mm-hmm.
With a laugh audience or whatever.
There might even be less with a laugh track.
You ever go back and watch a Seinfeld?
I did. I watched like six episodes the other day.
I don't notice too much of the laugh track.
I thought that was jarring.
Yeah.
When I watched Seinfeld a while back, it was like, whoa, I didn't realize how I'm not used to a laugh track.
I watched an episode of Friends without the laugh track the other day.
Oh, really? They
removed
they put those out there?
Okay, an episode I'm overestimating.
I think someone edited it.
I watched a few, and it was just the most god-awful, dry, like, nothing going on.
Well, because they have to pause, too, for the laughter. So it's like they'll say a joke.
Okay, but there's still a joke,
right?
And there's, like, still a space for you to laugh, and I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
I might be biased because I don't really like Friends that much anyway, but...
It's like the theory that laughter makes it funny.
Like when you do stand-up.
Like the Wacky Morning Show needs to have over-laughter on their bits, or else they actually wouldn't be that funny if you just listen to them. And
or the stand-up that gets all of his friends to come out to his open mic so that he's got somebody warming up the crowd. He's got a couple of laughs going so that it's not just dead silence out there.
Yeah, there's something to that.
For sure.
I don't know that it actually does make it funny, but it makes you maybe think it's funny.
Or it just, like... Your human brain is like, oh,
I got to be part of the
crowd.
Everybody else is laughing here.
Yeah, well, this is hilarious. I'd love to watch more shows that I really, really enjoyed that had the laugh track, like back in the day, and just watch it dry, nothing on there, and just see if it's still good or if it's still funny. Like, it probably wouldn't be because they're probably putting those in at pretty innocuous places. Like, there's no joke really. It's just kind of. They said something.
Catchphrase.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Sheldon said bazinga. Here we go.
Yeah.
Something else I remember about Lost, and so you wouldn't experience this if you're binging it or watching it throughout the past year, but I think it was one of the first shows where, you know, you'd get in a chat room and start...
Oh, yeah.
Internet ablaze.
And the internet actually affected the writers.
Yes.
I 100%
And I was bothered by that.
I do think that happened because I was...
They admitted there was a Lost podcast back then.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
I think Damon Lindelof and Carl Hughes, I listened to their weekly podcast. Yeah.
That was the first TV melding with podcasts, too.
Right.
That was one of the first podcasts I ever listened to.
They would acknowledge that. Who is the two? There was like a young
Mickey
couple.
And Paolo. It was Exposé, the episode that definitely does not need to be there. And it was just these two. People that were like tertiary characters that they tried to make important and then nobody liked them. So in one episode, they told this really fantastical story with them at the center where they end up getting buried alive while they're passed out after they got bit by a spider.
So it was like they tried to introduce new characters
and
new spice in the show.
Yeah,
and
like nine episodes
later,
killed them.
And
then responded to it.
And they've introduced new characters. Like, throughout the show, they've introduced new characters. It was just in a weird place where they were trying to make characters that were like, the audience asking questions. But at the point of the show, they didn't need that.
It was, like, season 3.
Like, Arst was a perfect example of that. He was like, the normal guy just asking what the hell's going on. And that was fine in season 1. But when you're at season 3, you don't need that anymore.
Right, and especially because, like, at that time, we're dealing... So, the time we're talking about, the half of your characters are in cages over on the Hydra Island, and then the other half are on the beach, and they're still trying to show some stuff on the beach, but
there wasn't a lot of story.
Not enough important people there, so they're trying to drum up something, and boy, we did not like it.
And Dan, I don't know how you rank the seasons, but I remember when we watched, it'd be actually interesting 10 years without watching it, now. But season 3 was very weak. I think it ended
great. It was
also
the longest.
Yes, and that was the season where they finally decided they were going to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big reveal of now we're doing flash forwards. But yeah, like season 3 was, we're talking about, it was overlong and it was unfocused.
Did they decide to do 2 more seasons then?
They did 3 more seasons.
Three more?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they did 3 more with a short... I can't remember if it was a 4th season, not the 5th season that was really short.
4th season was really short.
Yeah, so 4th season was really short due to the writer's strike and just we're ending this thing after a really long season that nobody enjoyed.
Yeah. There's highlights, but there was a lot of
Good stuff. I mean, Through the Looking Glass is still one of my favorite episodes ever. And we were talking about this, too, is they always destroyed, in my opinion, the finales. They did a really good job wrapping each season up. And but that season three was that was the most difficult one to get through. Like, I definitely wanted to stop doing this about midway through that season. It was just so bad.
I cannot give you my season by season breakdown. I don't recall that.
Okay, that's fair. What did you think about the finale, though? Because, you know, you see lists of best and worst finales all the time, and for some reason, the Lost finale is always up there. And it's my opinion that...
Up there on the worst?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's my opinion that the people who thought it was the worst are probably... They're usually people who maybe stopped in season two or three and then watched the finale and they thought... They, you know, they didn't see the whole finale, so they didn't realize that they weren't all dead. I think that's the thing people think, that haven't watched the show and then saw the final episode, is that they're all dead. And I think it's those people. I also think it's people who maybe were expecting a bit more than they were given.
So like we were talking about earlier with the internet being part of this whole thing, just like it happened in Game of Thrones, the theory makers on the internet came up with these crazy ways for it all to tie back together and end and wrap everything up. And there, I just don't think that any way anybody was ever going to be satisfied with it. I really liked the on second watch. I loved the finale or rewatch. I loved the finale. First time around, I definitely didn't.
Okay,
I see. I feel like it grew more hated over the years. Like I feel like at the time, and maybe you'll find tape of me saying something different
like the week after.
But I feel like not hating it at the time.
Yeah, because I remember you talking about it, and I remember Bob saying that his wife liked it a lot. Because it was more about the characters, but maybe he didn't like it as much. Because I think at the end, it was more of a character story, and I think people wanted the mystery.
And what was it that they were never alive on the island?
No. That was all real. So basically, the sideways or the flat, like the end, was afterlife. And they all built that place for them to meet back because of being so close.
So it was like years later.
Yeah. So they're waiting on Hurley to die after he's protecting the island 500 years from now. And it all now that's a little weird on how like the timing of that works out. Mm-hmm. But at the end, Christian Shepherd is there and he tells Jack that, I'm trying to remember exactly how he put it, is you guys built this place. Some of the people here everybody here is real. Your life was real. Everything you remember from the island is real. Some of you died recently. Some of you died long ago. Some died before you. Some died after you. And it was basically a meeting place for them all to move on together.
Okay.
Which, yeah. I mean, it...
You know.
I don't know.
Fine. The thing is that obviously, it was a fantastical show anyway, you know, like it was, there's all kinds of mysticism and whatnot in it. So if that's how, you know, that's their pride, it's fine. It's fine. I think it would have been bad if it were all they died in the initial crash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Terrible.
You know, there's some old, what show is it that their finale was it Saint Elsewhere?
Yeah, Saint Elsewhere with the snow globe and the autistic
kid. The whole thing was a kid's dream.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
I didn't hear your review of the Joker movie, but the ending of the Joker, where I think it was trying to allude to that all being in his head.
I think it left that open, and I thought that was pretty awesome that there is no clear cut ending to the Joker.
I'm fine with clear cut. I'm fine with no clear cut, but I don't like this didn't happen. This was all in someone's head.
I agree. I think most of the criticism was born out of like they either didn't get it or they tried to jump on late or it just. I mean, and then. I also just, like, some people just don't like things, you know? Like, they're not allowed to not like it. Just because I liked it doesn't mean they're wrong, I suppose.
But that's become a part of TV, too, is grading the Game of Thrones ending or whatever.
Yeah.
And then ranking it against The Sopranos or, you know, and I think our minds change over the years. like my mind kind of changed on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time I thought it was cool, mm-hmm. but I also didn't totally get it. And I mm-hmm. think it took me 10 years to discover the truth on The Sopranos ending, which yeah. I now believe to be 100% fact.
Yeah.
Although they left that, they left it open-ended, but I think it's very, much research, if you did a little research online like we did, you would find out that Tony's dead.
Yeah. If you look at the angles and how it's shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breaking down the point of view of each shot, the theme of that whole scene, and throughout the you know, whatever was Tony's point of view, mm-hmm. was the filmmaker's point of view, was your point of view. Same thing with Joker, I think. There's a little of that in there, but not as easy of a tell, I think, mm-hmm. of Sopranos. But anyway, that's off the path of Lost. Just saying that Lost, grading the finale is a thing to do as well. And I think over the, I don't recall it being killed at the time as much as when Game of Thrones came out. It's like, oh man, this is the worst finale yeah. since yeah. Lost. Like, well, I didn't remember Lost was that bad, was it?
It may also just be that like the internet is in a different yeah. state. It's at a more advanced state that we're all ready to give our hot sports opinion on this finale 5 seconds after it ended.
And I think that was such, I think when Game of Thrones ended, it was way more popular than Lost, probably, or at least was after the first season.
It was really interesting to yeah. watch Lost through the failings of Game of Thrones this season and just like kind of compare how they wrapped things up and how the, and I kind of like in a different sense, I kind of have the same thought about both, is some of it's really, really awesome. And then some of it, like the final yeah. season of Lost, like I could have dealt with no temple at all. Do you remember the temple?
Yes.
So like I could have deleted that out of the last yeah. season and been completely fine.
So I had a idea that it should have ended in season 5, the time travel one, where they are the cause of what happened to the hatch. If it just ended there, and they go to blow up the hatch and it blows up, and then
maybe you flash to the church or something.
Maybe you flash to like the plane and Jack's yeah. on the plane and you see turbulence and it ends.
But like certainly they like signed a contract that said we got to do 3 more years.
Right, definitely.
Or whatever, that was a big part of it.
Because initially, ABC wanted them to do 10 seasons.
Yeah, like X-Files, where it just goes on forever.
And they were like, we can't.
Yeah, yeah, after that third season was when they were like, look, we have to end this.
Gotta give them credit for that.
Yeah, no, and this gave rise to showrunners being like part of the known cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like prior to, Weiss and Benioff, it was Cuse and Lindelof.
And it was also Sopranos guy. Was it Wiener? Wiener? Not Matthew Wiener. What is the Sopranos guy's name?
Who created the Sopranos?
Yeah. David Chase, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think so.
Yeah, then I'm thinking of the guy from Mad Men. Is
Wiener. Chase the Wire.
Yeah. Or no, David Chase is the Wire. Yeah, you're right. I don't think there's any way we could ever know. You looking that up, Travis?
No, I was looking at my notes.
Oh, never mind then. Well, yeah, so, Dan, I guess, what's your overall...
It is David Chase.
Yeah, it is David Chase.
Here's The Wire. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because prior to that, like, we're talking...
Sopranos, David Chase. Maybe... David Simon is
okay.
The
David Simon. Okay,
yeah. Maybe prior to that, maybe Larry David's probably your most famous showrunner.
Yeah, Seinfeld.
And now, like, we know the showrunners for almost every major TV show. Like, mm-hmm. you've got Kurt Suter getting kicked off the Mayans this week. Weiss and Benioff are going to do Star Wars.
Well, I mean, like, even Damon Lindelof has been doing Leftovers.
Yeah.
He has Watchmen coming up
right
tomorrow night, which I'm actually excited for.
Like, I almost base what I'm interested in watching on the showrunner, producer, writer now a lot more than I used to, when it was more about, oh, well, is Brad Pitt in this one?
It's
star
like being into directors or something too, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of extended it past directors to, you know, the people a little bit that just weren't known, you know? And that probably the podcast is what did that, just putting a face on it.
Yeah. And I think, Dan, when you say you guys thought they made it up as they went, there was actually one of the writers from season 1 wrote a big thing. I should have pulled this up beforehand, but he wrote this thing a few years ago. It was like answering questions. And I think it was, I think the big complaint was that they were just making it up as they go. They're throwing train tracks on a moving train. I think it was more organic than that. I do think they planned certain things out, but I think they definitely, you know, maybe had too many mysteries that they just didn't know what to do with, and then they answered the wrong questions. Like, we'll get into some of the questions left unanswered. But I don't know. Did you feel like they sufficiently answered enough questions or didn't answer enough questions? Like, I felt like the numbers, they tried many times to answer that, but I don't think they needed to ever.
Yeah, I remember being left a little wanting on that, mm-hmm. because it isn't like The Sopranos didn't answer some questions, but that's supposedly based on, like, real-life mob.
Right.
Some things just happen, and yeah. then you never really know what happens after that,
right.
you know? Like, some things in life happen. But if you're on a TV show and you say there's a polar bear on a island in the, you know, in a warm climate, I need to know how come that is there.
Well,
you know?
It's the Dharma Initiative.
No, yeah, and yeah. I know they tried to answer that, but I almost thought you have to answer all the questions that
right.
you laid all these things out for us to suck us in. You know, how come this is happening? How come this is happening? I want each one of those answered because you've told me that, you know, you will, I guess.
They,
or
they definitely
implied promise that if I stay tuned, I'm going to figure this out in the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they definitely did that a lot, like with the Dharma Initiative, is like they either explain things by mysticism or just kind of how it is.
And yeah, I don't like that, but
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm also like, I don't know that I needed to know every single detail of every single question.
They did some of that in the last season where they just, like, the whispers answer. They're
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, this is what the whispers
like
is.
Like, they just shoved it into, like,
yeah.
the finale to just give you an answer. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we forgot we didn't answer that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, this one was pretty big, guys. We should probably put something in here.
And, like, with the numbers, though, I felt like that's one of those strange X-Files kind of mysteries that you probably don't need to answer, really, because it's just these weird numbers that show up everywhere. There's no really rhyme or reason, and they, you know, they're
big. I guess, like, what would be a answer
good, or what
to,
would be a good answer,
right,
know?
Like the number, like the island just loves these numbers.
And I remember between season 2 and 3, I think it was 2 and 3, they had this interactive website that had clues. This was like pre what was a J.J. Abrams movie that had like this viral marketing?
Super 6? Or
no, it was the Handycam one.
Oh, Cloverfield?
Cloverfield. This was a pre-Cloverfield, and they had all these like articles about like the Fibonacci numbers and like the equation for the end of the world and stuff like that. And I don't know, that might have been misleading, but or maybe that's what they had in mind.
That seems super deep.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's what they had in mind originally. I'm sure they definitely fudged things around. And
have you ever played the numbers on the lottery?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, I've definitely.
I think I, you know, I don't want to go too far because it might reveal some things about what I've used the numbers for.
Yeah, you don't.
So, you know,
it's your Pornhub password
don't
premium.
There.
Yeah, the numbers were a big bit for a while.
Oh yeah, huge.
Yeah.
And then maybe once or twice a season, Hurley would talk about them after like the third or fourth season.
Well, I have a list of some unanswered questions if we want to go through some of these and see if you felt like they were answered or should be answered.
Okay.
One is Jacob's cabin. I guess they really didn't explain. I mean, they explained who built the cabin, but not necessarily like who lived there.
I think they made it pretty clear that what's his name was there.
You mean the smoke monster?
Yeah, Man in Black.
I guess it never specifically stated that this yeah, I guess it, I don't know. I think this is just saying it wasn't totally clear.
Yeah,
my question was about the ash around it. I didn't really understand that.
Yeah, that made it seem like that the ash was like he was confined to that cabin.
Yeah.
This almost seems like one of those things that I wanted two of the episodes with Mom and Alice and Janie at the end rather than more temple stuff. And that sounds like something that they might have been thinking about doing, of two episodes like the like before Man in Black and Jacob split and post the split, and that could have been something where Jacob like confined him to the cabin,
yeah,
and Hurley like kicked it and released him or whatever. I can't remember exactly who ended up kicking the ash, But I mean, that's, I just inferred that. I assume that that's what happened. That's in my brain how it goes,
and
how
that's
it went.
One of those that I think I cared less about, especially in this walkthrough, Dan, or this watch through. I feel like I cared less about some of these mysteries that I remember obsessing over, or just kind of forgot.
I do wonder if that's because we've already seen it
maybe
a million
that
times.
Too.
It's like, I know they're not answering this, so I don't have to pay attention.
Libby is another character that had a big mystery.
Yeah.
And I think that's more now, that's more due to actress and, I don't know, they just dropping a plot point.
Did she get like a DUI or something and got kicked off the
show? I don't think
that
was the reason they got kicked off the show, though. I think that was unfortunate. Or I don't know. I think I did read an article about that. I think
I know that's why Mishrod was ousted.
Yeah.
Although her storyline made
sense.
I guess it didn't make any sense, really, because like she didn't have to be in that room because there was no reason for her to be there, right? Or was she guarding
I think
Ben?
They needed Michael to make a sacrifice, and so they needed someone to die. And that was she only wanted to be there for one season.
Ah,
yeah. I think there was rumors that she was hard to work with, and I think all the creators and they debunked that.
I can't believe that she's hard to work with.
I don't think she is. She seems nice, maybe. I don't know.
That's too bad.
Okay, the Outrigger chase. That's one that I could have sworn. You know that what I'm talking about?
Oh,
where they're jumping through time?
So they're jumping through time, and somebody starts shooting at them.
Yeah.
And they never tell you who that was shooting at them. I guess you're just supposed to assume it was the native.
And for some reason, I wanted it to be some kind of
like caught in a
weird loop
thing.
Yeah, where they're shooting at each other. For some reason, I thought that's what it was.
That was definitely a big theory at the time.
Yeah, and I like that theory that they're just shooting at each other. Like they're shooting at themselves. I don't know, Dan. Do you remember that from season 3, or season 4, where they're time jumping? Maybe 5. Yeah.
I don't. You're bringing up some specific things that blended into the into my memory of the show.
Okay. Walt, that was probably the biggest one. And that's one where, especially after watch, did you watch El Camino?
I've not watched all of it yet.
You've not?
We started it and then quit after 20 minutes and decided we didn't remember enough of the last season. So we restarted the last season.
Okay.
What are you tying into El Camino? I've seen El Camino.
Characters changing. Like Todd looking a lot bigger than he used to.
Yeah.
And I think with Walt, I think if they made the show today, I don't think they would have cared about him aging. But I really think they took him off the show because they didn't know what to do with his aging.
That's
kind of why they kind of nixed the
character. Yeah, they definitely have talked about that the kid just like, because you remember when he does make an appearance like 2 years later, he looks like he's like already been divorced and has like some payments he needs to be making.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Look, everybody gets divorced, not just people from bad economic backgrounds, okay. Trey.
You considered him to be from bad economic background? How come?
I think that's what he was inferring.
I don't think so.
I think it was.
Interesting. Because if you have an 8-year-old and they turn into a 13-year-old, then that's
makes it weird.
But you're trying to have a show that is just happening within.
Yeah. It's like a few years. I mean, especially those first three seasons.
It's basically 3 years.
3 months.
The whole series.
The whole series
is like
3 years.
Yeah. So if the show. Yeah. If you're going through 1 year, but he looks 4 years older.
Well, honestly,
that was a deal.
That's the craziest thing about Breaking Bad is the whole thing takes place over 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking.
Does it really?
Yeah, we just started the last season.
Well, they never had any 8-year-olds in it, though, right?
It made it a little easier. They had a tiny baby, which is easy to swap those guys out. And then Flynn changes considerably, but not enough to make it bad or anything. So that was a little bit easier.
But I think when you're dealing with a show with mystical properties, I mean, when you have a Richard who doesn't age, why not have the inverse and have, why is Michael aging so, or why is
Walt
aging so fast?
Walt has like reverse Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
He just gets old real
quick.
I guess that's regular Benjamin Button.
You could have just written that into the show. I think, I don't know.
They could have just not said anything and just had him on the show.
Yeah, they could just had him on the show.
Deal with it. Kid got really tall. I don't know what to tell you.
They put Eloise Hawkins in there. I think they just think she was maybe something more. Also, the sickness. I always thought the sickness was more of a red herring than anything.
I thought it was like radiation poisoning or something. That's what I honestly thought it was.
Because they always sort of use the sickness as an excuse for the weird stuff happening. Well, like, people would just say it's the sickness.
And then in the last season, they kind of attribute what's going on with Claire and Saeed.
Yeah, that was weird. That was probably the worst part of that season, was that stuff.
Yeah.
With the pool.
With the pool and the temp. Yeah. Yeah. The way they handled Saeed at the end was very annoying. And kind of the same thing with Jin and Sun, with the way they killed him off. I don't really care that they only got like one episode together before they killed him back off.
Yeah, that was shitty too.
I don't know. The sickness was definitely, I don't know. I think you might be right. It was more of a red herring than anything. You know, it might have just been something they didn't really feel like explaining too much.
They put childbirth problems here. The whole women can't give birth.
I feel like that's tied to the sickness.
I think that's tied to the incident. That's
probably.
You know?
You're probably right. Yeah.
Because they didn't have issues before that happened.
Yeah, because Miles was born on the island.
Right.
I don't recall because I watched the series premiere last week or 2 weeks ago. What happened with that lady who was pregnant?
So
Claire
had her baby. Now that's another. I'll bring up something about Claire next, but she had the baby. But if you have the baby on the island, then they will die.
Like if you conceive on the island.
Yes, conceive on the island, the baby will die.
Okay.
Yes. Also with Claire, though, her babe, Aaron, she had that whole episode where the psychic said that your baby is pretty much like, you need to raise him or else he'll be like the Antichrist or something. And they kind of drop that, too. And I think there was
also... Well, they dropped that because that dude was a croc.
Well, I also don't like that. I wish he was the Antichrist. I kind of wish, you know, it was something more sinister.
Yeah, but that guy, he admitted to being a fake.
Right.
So that threw everything...
That was an answer, I guess.
Yeah, that threw everything that guy ever said out the window.
Right. They mentioned the monster, mother, the monster.
How are the monster... So, the monster thing that does confuse me is I don't understand how Jack went into the thing and was spit out just like the Man in Black, but didn't become Smoke Monster.
Right.
The only way you can explain that is the island just doing Jack a solid.
Yeah. Also, the ruins and some of the...
stuff that they just never saw.
Yeah.
On this very small island that they're able to just walk across back and forth within a day or two.
And one of the... Yeah, that's the other thing. That island is so... And I guess they did a little bit of, you haven't seen it because you weren't looking for it kind of stuff.
Right, yeah.
But I think a lot of this show could be answered by just, it's fate or it's this. You know, which I think is okay sometimes, but I think... Sometimes it's not that okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if there's any final thoughts you guys have to say, or Dan, anything you're looking forward to rewatching the show? Because I know for me, one of the big things was Locke was my favorite character of all time.
Who was your favorite character, Dan?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about that.
Were you Team Jack or Team Locke?
Sawyer is not available.
No,
to be on
you can definitely
his
take
team.
Sawyer. Yeah,
I don't
you can
know.
Be on his team.
Certainly, I remember him crushing the frog in his hand.
Uh-huh.
That was a major, major deal.
And boy, could he just walk around without a shirt.
He certainly could.
I think he had something in his contract where he had to be shirtless once an episode.
Yeah, probably.
Where is he?
He's
out there?
Some other network show, right?
Yeah, he got a new network show this year. He was in one of the Mission Impossibles. He's big on pilot season. You'll catch him for the first month or so, and then you don't see him for a while.
Yeah, I love me some Hurley, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We were saying that I think if they had done the Solo movie back then, I think Sawyer would have been a good Han Solo.
Maybe a little too old for it.
A little too old, but yeah. Or if they want to, if they want to recast Han Solo. Yeah.
That's another thing that's weird is not a ton of people from this show have gone on to do bigger and better
things. Evangeline Lilly's the most...
Right, and she took a 10-year break.
Yeah.
After Lost, she did almost nothing until Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right, and she was in the Hobbit movies, but we like to forget about those.
Yeah, we do.
Jack was doing something, right?
Is he?
He was in a
few
things.
Right after.
Yeah, right after.
He did that.
I thought he had a couple big network
Vantage Point.
He was in Vantage Point.
With Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
With a Quaid?
With a Quaid. One of the Quaid. Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, it wasn't Randy Quaid.
Not Randy Quaid.
He wasn't in an action movie.
No.
And Sawyer hasn't done a ton. Let's see. The Hobbit kid.
Oh, Dominic Monaghan hasn't been in much.
No, but I think he's kind of... When you're in The Lord of the Rings and Lost, you probably don't need to work.
Oh, I guess Jack was in, I'm looking now, was in something before. He was big on Party of Five.
Yeah.
So his biggest thing was previous to that.
Yeah. Hurley, he's had a difficult time. He's kind of painted into a corner, is the thing.
Sure.
With Hurley. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple.
A lot of those guys are on Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah, he's been on Hawaii Five-0 for a long time.
A bunch of them on that, yeah.
Jin.
Jin is on that. Locke was on it
for a while. Well, Jin was on it, but a contract dispute.
Ooh.
Oh.
My daughter is really into Hawaii Five-0.
Really? Okay.
So apparently a couple of the Asian actors on Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, I remember
this. Yeah, I remember that.
Wanted to be paid as much as their Caucasian counterparts. Although they weren't. They were lesser players, according to the daughter. She watches every episode, and
she agreed with their stance, but not with their content exactly.
Well, I guess you know they said, "Well, then we'll just hold out and we won't come back." And they said, "Okay, fine, we'll pay someone else. You know, $50,000 or how much do you make an episode? $100,000? Like it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a good amount
when you're on a network TV show like that. So, you know, stood up for what is right and." Once again, the man has pressed his oppressive thumb down upon you.
Yeah, and CBS may not be the best network to try that with either, as they're churning out the most generic shows in television, just in general. So
They weren't one of the two main headliners.
Right.
They were you know, down 4 or 5 on the totem pole, and they got some new 4 or 5s on the totem pole. And
they're working out great.
And wrote them in. Yeah, I mean, they're just doing the same. It's just a network show. It's not like you're...
There's no substance to it, hardly. It's just kind of what's happening today on the beach.
Sometimes you got to swallow your pride.
Yeah.
And just cash them checks as long as you can.
Well, and you know, they're probably doing okay after, Hawaii Five-0, the reboot's probably been on air for 7-8 years now.
Well, it seemed like right after Lost ended Hawaii Five-0.
Maybe a year or two after, because like we said, like...
Locke, Jin.
He started on it.
Desmond's
on Hurley.
There. Yeah.
Oh, Desmond's on there?
I think he was on... I remember they did some Lost reunion episode, and they had a whole bunch of... Maybe he was a guest star or something, but they had a whole bunch of them on
there. A bunch of them flocked over to CBS, probably because they were all worth more, and CBS was
paying. And also, they're paying. Already in Hawaii.
That helps. Yeah, that helps.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad move, because, let's see, Ben was on...
I love the Trey, all right.
Ben was on some show for a while.
What was the one that J.J. Abrams did? It was Fuse or
Fringe.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think he was on that.
Fringe wasn't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first season wasn't terrible. I did not hate Fringe, but I also bailed on it after like 2.5 years.
Well, Dan, I'm interested in hearing how how you like the show rewatching it, if you indeed do rewatch.
Yeah. How did you like the pilot?
Yeah.
Just the pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I mean, I actually tried to introduce my daughter to it because she's watching like all Hawaii Five-0, and she's kind of into that show, and she knows a few characters, and I thought it would grab her like it grabbed me back in 2004, but it didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
She wasn't like, oh, this is groundbreaking and, you know, an amazing thing.
Desensitized to all the cool stuff that we have now?
Yeah, possibly.
Because back then, that was not TV.
Tell her to watch through the 4th episode where Locke's in the wheelchair, and if she doesn't like it, then it's fine.
Yeah,
that's what grabbed me was like.
Yeah, once
shit.
You start getting into the flashbacks and all that, it's really cool.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kids these days, though, right, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not for everybody. Definitely.
No, but I mean, I watch. You know, the movie of the month is watching old movies again, and is it as good as I thought it was back then?
Mm-hmm.
Even like when I watched Pulp Fiction, it didn't treat me like it treated me when I first saw Pulp Fiction. I was staggered out of the theater thinking this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
The magic wasn't there.
Now, someone who sees it, like Jake, for the first time ever, is like, well, I've seen them do that before in many different movies.
Right.
Yeah, but that was the first time you had ever seen it in any movie. Or, you know what I mean? The weird time shift that goes on in Pulp Fiction is way more common now than it was when he first pulled it off. So I wonder if Lost would be viewed the same way, but you know, it deserves its place on Mount Rushmore or whatever. And if Mount Rushmore has like 6 or 8 different shows, then it probably deserves its place up there.
Mount Rushmore is more of a top 10 these days.
Top 10 shows.
And so many good shows are being churned out.
Right.
It's tough to
eventually
rank it.
It's going
to
fall out.
You do have to adjust for era. You know?
For sure.
You have to adjust. Pedro Martinez's ERA was much more impressive than whoever, Sandy Koufax in his era, right? Because everyone else's ERA is 4.5. Yours is 1.3.
You're
so
right.
That's really impressive. And lost, you know, in that era when it came out, it was groundbreaking. And I don't think I would watch it like, I went back and watched Homicide, Life on the Street, which was supposedly a groundbreaking cop drama, which was made by the guy who made The Wire. So I love The Wire so much. I'm like, all right, I got to go back and see what this guy produced, because I also liked Law and Order. I was a guy, you know, someone who did that, or I used to watch CSI. So let me go back and watch the first network drama that, you know, preceded all these things. And it was like, eh, okay.
It's kind of just here.
It wasn't groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. If I have ground, it didn't break my ground. It didn't wow me that much. And I wonder if somebody would watch Lost today very similarly.
You know, that's how I felt about Twin Peaks. Like, I liked it all right, but it didn't blow my mind because of, like, Lost. Like, I've seen Lost, and Lost, you know, was influenced by that. And Twin Peaks is like, oh, it's good, but not the best thing ever.
Yeah, I feel similarly about Oz. It's just like there's some shows that I know at one point were this like peak of television. Yeah. Like this is the new wave. And now we're 25 years later. And I'm like, ah, I don't know that I need to run through this whole thing, or if I can just get a taste of it and be okay. That's kind of what I'm here for. It's just I just want to dip my toe in and not waste a ton of time doing it.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to rank the dads, but you don't have to you don't have to chill here for that. That can just be our thing if you want. If you got to get
unless you
have get going.
A big opinion about all of the dads.
Yeah,
on the
unless you have a huge opinion about any of the dads.
So you're ranking
we're ranking all the so Lost has a lot of horrible fathers. Horrible father figures. And
like Jack's dad or whatever.
Jack's dad's terrible. Locke with Anthony Cooper, his dad was horrible.
Ben Linus. Linus.
Roger's horrible. So we want to rank the dads from pretty much worst to somewhat all right.
Okay. I have like a loose list.
Yeah.
I think yours is a little bit more,
maybe more
put
like
together
16.
Than mine.
So yeah, Dan, I mean, if you got to take off, you can. If you want to hang out and rank the dads, you can too. It's up to you.
Let me hang out and listen.
All right.
See what you're doing.
Perfect.
Cool. Sweet. All right, Travis.
All right, tell me where.
So here's who I
am. Are you? Is this your worst dad or best?
No. I want to rank these together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the list I have.
A team building exercise.
Yes. I got Ben Linus, Roger Linus, Charlie's dad, Christian Shepherd, Charles Widmore, Hurley's dad, Jin's dad, Kate's dad, Wayne.
Jin's dad. I didn't get that.
Yeah, he's probably the best dad actually.
He's up there.
Jin's dad, Wayne, who was her stepdad, that. Abused her. Or
yeah,
it was weird.
He was actually the real dad.
The real dad.
Man,
and then,
she had some stuff going.
Yeah, and then she had fake dad Sam. And then there's Dr. Chang, who's Miles' dad.
Miles' dad.
You have Sawyer's real dad. I guess he always had a real dad. You have Sawyer's.
Yeah, he didn't have a stepdad.
Himself.
I don't think. He had that uncle that may or may not have been Anthony Cooper.
Yeah, he did look. It looked like Anthony Cooper. You have Shannon's dad. I put down Shannon's dad. You don't ever meet him.
Yeah, he's not in the show. He's just mentioned.
Okay.
And he dies within like 10 minutes.
She seemed to have a really good relationship with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that's what she said, though. Like,
She said, I seem to have a really good relationship.
She was crying when he died, okay?
Right.
She seemed like she was really sad.
Okay.
I didn't put, Desmond because you don't really see him being it. You don't see him being a father, really.
I think he needs. You don't see Shannon's dad. You have to put. I didn't even remember Desmond, but you got to put him on
the
list.
All right, I'll put Desmond on the list. So you got Shannon's dad. You got Michael. You have Aaron's dad, the guy that kind of looks like Ben Linus that leaves.
Yeah, he kind of looks like the little brother in Wedding Crashers.
Yes, he does.
He kind of looks like that guy.
But he's Australian.
The Australian version of the little brother from Wedding Crashers.
You have Walt's adopted father, and you have Desmond.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's get...
Jeez. It's a big list.
It is a big list.
How far are we going down? That was like 20 people.
Yeah, it was about 20. So you know what? Let's do this. Let's get the best dads. We know Desmond would probably be one of the best dads.
Yeah, Desmond's the best.
I think Jin's dad is probably best dad.
I think Jin's dad is up there.
Because he might not even be Jin's real father.
It's very true.
Yeah, like, that was the whole thing that he didn't know.
Give me Hurley's dad in the top.
So yes, Hurley. I think Hurley's dad is
flawed, but given the field, we have to consider him a top.
Now remember,
candidate.
This is ranked worst to best. So Jin's dad is the last one because he's the best.
Right. So yeah. I'm saying that these guys are like his Hurley's dad is definitely near the bottom / best dads.
Yes. So.
Because, I mean, he made up for it. He gave his son some really good advice.
No, he totally made up for it. He made up for being a shitty dad. So right now I have Jin's dad, Desmond Hurley's dad.
Kate's stepdad.
Oh, Dr. Chang is actually one of the best dads. Because, no. He had to stay on the island, you remember?
Yeah.
He had to stay.
But his kid was kind of tortured and didn't know all that.
But there was no way to...
No, I understand, but just because it's not your fault that you're a deadbeat dad... doesn't make you not a deadbeat
dad. I don't think he was a deadbeat dad, though.
He was literally a deadbeat dad.
No. Didn't he die on the island?
Dead.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I say he's better than Hurley's dad.
No.
I think he's below Desmond.
Disagree.
Okay. Well, we'll shelf that. Shannon's dad. I'm going to give Shannon's dad.
I'm canceling that. We never met him.
Oh, we never met Shannon's dad? Okay. Michael? What about Michael? I think he's up there. He's definitely a good dad. He's
a good dad, a shitty person.
Yeah.
Good dad, shitty person.
Shitty person. So maybe above Hurley's dad.
I think there could be some people in between Hurley's dad and Michael. Did we already say Kate's stepdad?
Oh, not yet.
Kate's stepdad is for sure above Hurley's dad.
Okay, I'll put him above Hurley's dad, Kate's stepdad.
Below Jin's dad. He kind of has the same thing going for him that Jin's dad did.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. I have Jin's dad, Desmond, Michael, Kate's stepdad, Hurley's dad.
Okay.
Should I put Michael above? Should I put Kate's stepdad above Michael?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me do this.
Michael might. That might be a good spot for Michael.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to. I don't. Because most of the reasons why I don't like Michael or don't want to be associated with or rank him high. Really don't have anything to do with his parental skills.
Right. Should we put Dr. Chang above Hurley's dad or below?
Below.
So
I mean, I guess above in terms of...
Is he
of
a better dad or worse dad?
Worse dad.
Okay.
Worse dad. Just time, you know?
Time.
Just time, really, on that one.
Okay, so this might actually be easy because we now just have to figure out which dads caused horrible emotional scarring or which dads were just kind of shitty.
Okay.
So, like, I think Charlie's dad just seems like he's just a...
He's kind of run-of-the-mill, just a dad.
I think he's, mid-tier dad.
Yeah, mid-tier
so Charlie's dad.
He's a mid-tier dad.
Yes. Charlie's dad above Dr. Chang.
Yeah, I would say that. Jin's, not Jin,
Oh, son's dad.
Son's dad. No, he's got to be a top fiver, right?
I don't know. We'll get there. Charles Widmore's a top fiver.
Ben might be a top man. There's probably...
That might be a big argument.
That might be... Yeah, we might have some stuff going on there.
All right. So how about this? Before we go through the rest, I think our two picks are going to be Anthony Cooper and Christian Shepherd, right?
It depends. Are you X-ing out... sideways Christian Shepherd.
I'm not counting sideways.
You're not counting that?
No.
So he's just regular. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Christian Shepherd.
I don't know.
Knows what he did was wrong. I think he at least provided for his family. Like he was paying off.
For
Claire's mom. He was supporting Jack financially.
I still think son's dad is worse.
Son's dad's pretty bad.
Because he was blackmailing her husband.
Yeah. I think Anthony Cooper's number one. Right?
Anthony Cooper is the worst dad. Not really all that close.
He's bad.
He's a bad guy. Just really bad.
Though Sawyer's dad killed himself because of Anthony Cooper.
And his mom.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot. He might be fringe top five just because kind of like the time thing.
Yeah.
Not really.
I think Roger Linus might actually be
top
up
five
there.
I don't know. I think he's worse than Ben.
Yeah, he's worse than Ben.
He's a worse dad than Ben. He might be three, Roger.
Man, okay, so.
Or four.
Oh, did I write? Okay.
So, Anthony Cooper. Who did we have second?
I'd say Christian Shepherd second.
I want to put son's dad there.
Okay, son's dad.
Yeah, then I'll put Christian Shepherd. No, come on. Roger Linus is not.
Yeah, Roger Linus is. Yeah.
He is not better than Christian Shepherd because
he
didn't even provide for his kid.
Right. So I put Anthony Cooper, son's dad, Roger Linus, Christian Shepherd. Charles Widmore, better or worse than Christian Shepherd?
That's a good
one. I think they're kind of similar.
I think they're similar. I want to give the nod to Widmore, though.
Charles Widmore?
Again, very shitty person. Seemed like a fine dad. I mean, he just seemed like a rich dude.
Yeah.
Talk about somebody whose shine wore off during the show.
Yeah, that too. That character seemed like he was really...
He was so important.
Yeah.
And then when he came back to, like, fight Locke, I was super confused with what he was even trying to do or accomplish.
All right, so Anthony Cooper's son's dad, Roger Linus, Christian Shepherd, Charles Widmore.
Yep.
Now we have Ben Linus, Kate's dad, Wayne, Sawyer's dad, Aaron's dad, Walt's adopted dad.
Sawyer's dad?
I think he might be a worse dad than Charles. I think he actually might be above Christian Shepherd because he
did murder.
Yeah.
He did murder.
And also Sawyer's mentioned that he got beat as a kid. Though you don't know, like, how...
I mean, they kind of allude to Wayne diddling Kate.
Yeah, they did allude to that.
But there's so little time with those characters, you know?
It's weird that you don't see the whole... Yeah, you don't...
Whole story. I want to put those two together.
They're
Wayne,
very similar together.
Wayne and... what's his name?
I don't think they ever gave him a name. Or maybe they did, I just
Sawyer's
don't remember.
Dad?
Yeah, Sawyer's dad.
I don't think they did either.
Yeah. Those would be good together.
If we had, like, another episode with them, they might shoot up the list a bit. But for what we have.
So where should we put them on this
after
list?
The top five. Like, okay. They're just outside the top five. Because I think, like I said, if we spend an episode or two more with them, they're in the top
five. I'd say Kate's dad first because she killed him.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. Yeah. Kate's dad Wayne. And then Sawyer's dad.
Yep. And then Ben?
I don't know, man. So Aaron's dad totally abandoned Claire and Aaron.
So Ben did that right in front of Alex. And it caused her to get shot in the head.
So
I kind of want to put him above somebody that's just letting his bastard run around the island.
So Ben Linus, Aaron's dad, Walt's adopted dad. Because Walt's adopted dad just sort of like left him to Michael, like, hey, I can't
do this.
Yeah,
he was like,
this
kid's a freak, take it.
Yeah.
That was kind of savage that he just left. He just gave him back. I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. Here, take him. I don't want him anymore.
Look, he even said, like, in the episode, he's like,
he's different.
Fucking, he's fucking weird.
He's a weird kid. Make stuff happen. All right, so final list. Tell me if you have any arguments.
Okay.
Anthony Cooper. Son's dad, Roger Linus, Christian Shepherd, Charles Widmore, Kate's dad, Wayne, Sawyer's dad. Wayne is such a horrible name, for a horrible person.
Wayne and DeWayne are not good names.
Sawyer's dad, Benjamin Linus, Aaron's dad, Aaron's adopted dad, Charlie's dad, Dr. Chang, Hurley's dad, Michael, Kate's stepdad, Desmond, and Jin's dad.
So Jin's dad wins the championship.
For best dad, and Anthony Cooper wins for worst dad.
I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
All right, so I think when we come back...
We don't know.
At some point.
Maybe a month or so.
Maybe a month or so.
We've talked about, but have not decided how exactly we want to release...
Maybe Dan can help us. It's been a little weird with this. We started season one. We're going to do like half a season, and then we started doing like six episodes together, and then we kind of settled on three.
Three or four.
Yeah. But we thought we were going to be doing...
Three episodes on what?
So we were doing like... When we first started, we would do half of the season of Lost per podcast. And then we got all the way down to... That's way too much information to try and talk about in an hour and a half, and we brought it down to 3 to 4, and that was still a lot. And now we're going into Sopranos, which is, that's the big announcement. We're going to do Sopranos next.
I think so, yeah.
And I think with Sopranos, it's going to be a little easier to fit 3 to 4 episodes into the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's less...
You don't have like totally different shows going on.
There's not like as many rabbit holes to go down and to like discuss with Sopranos.
And especially since, you know, it's not going to be a week by... I mean, it's going to be... We know sort of where it goes.
We may do bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Or bi-monthly, twice a month. I don't know how bi... weekly, monthly works.
I don't know either.
Maybe twice a month we'll do episodes, which is somewhat what we've been doing over the last 6 months or so. But yeah, I think we're gonna do Sopranos. That's what we've landed on. We thought about.
So we're keeping in the.
That's a big hill to climb.
The Aaron Sepinwall.
Yeah.
Alan Sepinwall.
Alan Sepinwall.
It's not nearly as big as looking at the 226 episode list of Lost when we first started that.
Yeah.
Which is why we started doing like 6 episodes per podcast.
Oh, it's not as many?
No, not even close.
Because the first 3 seasons of Lost were like 25 episodes apiece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to say it was 6 seasons?
6 seasons of
Sopranos.
I believe so, yeah.
13 for the first 5 and 16 in the last.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less. The seasons are shorter. I think it'll be a little easier to.
Yeah, I kind of think we should do it as a full season, each season as a podcast, but then.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Might see how it goes.
Yeah. I think we should do, you know.
How often do you guys do this? Is that what you're talking about?
We did this every week.
We did it every week, every 2 weeks.
It just got to be a lot because we would just sort of almost read through recaps of the episode.
That was the big thing is like, it's not just watching it, but taking like good enough notes that you actually have enough to talk about 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So you end up, I ended up not really watching a lot of it. I'm just listening and taking notes as I go. Like not taking any of it in or really being able to think about any of the big plot points just because I'm trying to be as accurate on what we're looking at.
What if you did a 15-minute podcast after each show?
It's okay.
Not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking we did a 15-minute segment every week.
Like it worked pretty well for us.
Would that be, or do not?
That wouldn't be bad.
Sometimes I hate podcasts if they go on too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're an hour and 40.
No, definitely.
And it could have been an hour.
Because I'll
half hour.
Right. I'll just not listen to the second hour of a podcast.
Right. Yeah. You tune in at first. You listen
until
you get out of the car, maybe 40 minutes later, and then you're like, oh, I'll never go back to that.
Right. Exactly. Actually not a even if we were to do like an episode by episode, but then combine it and release it.
If we did 15 minutes
or something,
it's an hour episode. That'd be an hour. That would be practically an episode time where we could just watch it together and then do the podcast right after.
Can we hold hands?
We could. We could hold hands digitally down. All right, Dan. Well, that's actually.
This is why you've made it so long in radio. You just have these ideas.
You got these ideas.
Yeah.
It's all about clock, really, I've learned in radio. Clock over content. It doesn't matter what you have to say. Just make sure it's
exactly.
only
out on time.
Only a half hour or whatever.
Do you want to come by and tell all the weekend hosts about that?
Ooh.
That'd be great.
No, it's actually not about clock at all. It's about content. for real. But I think the benefit of a clock sometimes is it, and it's what I've wondered about guys who learn the craft in the podcast world.
Mm-hmm.
When you have no restrictions on you, and I think Jake and TC have done a good job, despite my questioning whether they could do it, is if you have no restrictions, there's nothing to break out of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you get better and you know what I mean? I think the restrictions are good because it does say, okay, I don't have all day. Mm-hmm. I better get to the good points.
It gives you a formula.
I'm not wasting your time out there with talking about what I did on my lawn today or whatever. You know, we're not meandering around. We're getting to the meat. I tuned in, and especially in the podcasting world, sometimes you go, I want a Rangers podcast. So I go to the Rangers podcast because I want to learn about the Rangers. That's why I'm here, and I hear about this guy's day.
Mm-hmm,
well, I'm not tuning into your regular radio show, but they've learned how to broadcast somewhat listening to the Ticket. So a lot of guys goof around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe on the Ticket, you've earned that credit or something like that. You know what I mean? You've
100%.
Become a familiar voice over time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even if you're doing your own Rangers podcast, that would happen over time. But, you know, don't do it to me right in when I came here because it's called Rangers Podcast. So if it's called Lost Podcast and you say, I've got to just focus on or Sopranos, you know, people came here to because they're into the Sopranos too. They watched episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to compare their notes with yours. You know, do you want to get right to it and make sure, you know, leave some of the crap on the floor and say, I only got 15 minutes or I only have a half hour. Maybe it's a half hour. You know, you're thinking, how long are people in the car or something like that? How long will they give us? So that's my theory, which has not been proven for sure. I don't know if it holds any water, but, you know, certainly in radio, there's a lot of stories and, you know, Howard Stern has his stories that he was a music DJ and his, you know, breaks would go longer and longer because he'd start talking. And, you know, he broke out of the box mm-hmm. that they put him in because he had so much to say and it was good. How would he have been if he had a vast 2 hours every day when he sucked?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he would have got better or not. I mean, he probably would have. He's Stern, right? But You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the crazy things. So I'm a big, I'm an out-of-town sports fan like you, Dan. So, like, I listen to other radio stations around the country to get my Kansas City news or whatever. And so I've never worked at another radio station and really never really thought of a concept of sports radio where, like, you would run a commercial-free 2 hours or something like that. And, like, I listen to some stations and it is a lot of meandering. And then I wonder why, and then I check in an hour later, and we haven't gone to break. There's been no separation. Like, having that open-ended time slot, it does lead to a lot of just bullshit at the end of the day, I think.
Yeah, I guess unless you're good at doing it.
Right.
Unless you've... And that's my thing about having to go to break or having to have someone look at your content or something. It makes you kind of... You know, I wish sometimes conversations I'm having with my wife, like she would have a program director to talk to her and say, look, where were you going with this? Did you have an idea? And you're losing your audience here. You know, you get a beginning, middle and end to your point and let's get to it.
And then play after that if you have time.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's again, these are just all theories and I'm not sure really how it works in the end. I know me. I like listening to podcasts
mm-hmm.
and I generally, just like you said, If it's an hour 40-minute podcast and I spend my first half hour driving and it just kind of didn't grab me,
yeah.
Well, then I won't listen to the rest of that podcast.
Yeah.
So you better get your good shit out there first and try to get somebody in. Or if you call yourself the Lost Podcast, well, let's talk Lost right away. And
right.
To your guys' credit, I think you did that right away. We didn't jerk around too much in the beginning, except the two times we started recording and then realized it wasn't recording.
Yeah. Other than that, I thought we were pretty efficient this today.
No. And I, you know, it's all, so I base all my opinions basically are how things have affected me.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes me, you know, usually 30, 35 minutes I spend in the car. So
that's how long you have.
If you gave me a cool podcast to listen to that each episode was 30 minutes long, I'm kind of on board with that. But I also listen to others that I like. If they grab me like, oh, okay, cool, I'll listen to the second half of this one later, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to, you know, I guess it's hard to make your way in this world, right?
Sure.
There's so much going on.
Yeah.
Definitely. A lot of things distracting people.
Well, Dan, thanks again for coming on. And,
okay. That was bonus content.
No, that was
you didn't
was
even
awesome.
Ask
That's
for
awesome.
And you didn't want.
Oh, I
And
totally
you might edit it out.
Hell no. Keep working
That's
that
That's just going to be for us. That's
yeah.
our little radio sprinkling of... This is how it kind of works from an expert.
Mm-hmm. Not an expert, but do have opinions on anything.
To us, you are the expert.
Yeah.
From where we sit, anyway.
Well, thanks, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Good
that's
times.
That's
Thank
Dan
you, Dan.
McDowell. You can hear him on the 5,000th
Let's do it again tomorrow.
First episode of Bad Radio Monday.
You want to do the Sopranos pod with us?
Are you doing the whole? Are we putting the whole 5,000 episode out?
Are we? Because I didn't get any of that on the in the podcast folder. I assume that you guys were just putting the whole episode out.
I think
out.
We should put the whole episode out.
Okay.
I thought you might be in charge of that, but obviously not.
Figure it out. Yeah.
All right. Cut that back.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
My favorite bit.
We'll be back soon to talk Sopranos. And until then, thanks for listening. I'm Trey Mitchell. That's Travis Mejia and Dan McDowell.
Shorty.
We appreciate it.
Bye.